You
Hello.
guys, welcome to the foxhole.
Welcome to the foxhole.
We're taking the foxhole to the doctor today.
To the doctor.
And as I'm sitting here, this is the... I'll get to that story in a moment. So we are here today at the Tamjiddy Skin Institute in Tyson's Corner, and we are with Dr. Patricia Lucy.
Hi.
Who is an amazing dermatologist in the area. She's responsible for my wonderfully not wrinkled face. So thank you for that.
Yay.
And we're so excited. We got so many Instagram questions.
So many questions.
Turns out you guys are really interested in sun care.
Who
and,
knew?
Yeah. And beauty.
Weird.
So here we are. So Dr. Lucy is somebody who I met as a referral. I came to her and she's already been the most thorough dermatologist I've ever had. She made me brave enough to do Botox, which you all have heard a million times that I'm obsessed with. Mm-hmm. Do you just want to do a little introduction about yourself?
Sure. My name is Patricia Lucy. I'm a board certified dermatologist. I'm local to the area. I'm from Maryland. I went to University of Maryland College Park.
Whoop, Terps.
Go Terrapins. And then I did medical school at GW in the city and did my residency up in New York City at Albert Einstein, and I also did an extra year of fellowship in melanoma at Washington Hospital Center. So I focus on melanoma, but I also do lots of cosmetics, acne, warts, psoriasis. I'm the bread and butter dermatologist. So
cool.
I'm really lucky to be back in Virginia. It's awesome.
Awesome. And you said that in addition to working at this institute, you're also at ANOVA.
Yeah, so I work at the Tamjiddy Skin Institute, which is here 3 days a week. I do lots of skin checks. I've been catching lots of skin cancers. It is the time of year. And then, again, lots of lasers, cosmetics, fillers, acne, psoriasis. But 2 days a week, I'm on faculty at ANOVA, and I do really just melanoma and pigmented lesions and moles. So those are the patients that are higher acuity. They either have like 800 moles, or they've got a family and a personal history of melanoma. And so they really need like a half hour appointment. I spend a lot of time with them. Whereas here I could see a skin check and do Botox and give them something for their acne and their rash all in 15 minutes because their skin is not that hard.
Gotcha.
So, and I can cross reference to myself, which is nice too.
Awesome. Very cool.
So cool.
And at the beginning of this episode, I promised Casey I wouldn't, ping pong around and here I've gone because I'm not supposed to do introductions.
It's totally fine. Next time. There's always next
yeah,
time.
Yeah. So we're going to start introducing ourselves because we actually have people listening in 40 states now.
Yay.
Which is crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm Erin. I have a company called Vocal Grit, which is a digital marketing agency. I'm also a brand photographer, and this is Casey.
And I'm Casey, a full-time wedding photographer in Old Town, Alexandria, Virginia.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you guys for listening. I think that the best thing to do right now is to probably learn what Dr. Lucy's favorite things are, because I'm dying to know.
Yes.
favorite things for skincare?
Like things that you're loving right now.
So yeah, there's a couple things. So, right now, one app I need to throw out there because it's, like, revolutionized the way I communicate with my family is this amazing app one of my girlfriends from medical school introduced me to called Marco Polo.
What?
Have you heard of it?
No.
It is the bomb. So, Marco Polo is, like, live video communication back and forth. So, I'm from a huge family. I'm one of five siblings, and we all have, you know, kids now. And so, when you usually send, like, a picture message or a video message to somebody, you know, it takes up space on your phone. And it takes up space in your messages. And then if you try to send a video to like 10 people, the video is all truncated and you can't see it.
Yeah.
So this is, it's called Marco Polo. So I think of Marco Polo.
Yeah.
You know? So I could send a video and be like, oh, family, look at my son doing this crazy thing. Or when I'm driving, instead of talking and texting, you could be like, hey, guys, I'm on my way there. Does anyone need me to pick anything up? So
cool.
It's a way that I've stayed in such good contact with my friends, my family. I get to see, my brother is in Texas. I get to see his face all the time. So it's just incredible to like see all these people.
Beautiful.
And even my nanny throughout the day is like, here's a video of your baby. Look what
oh,
she's
cute.
Doing. So it's called Marco Polo. It's literally changed the way I communicate with my family.
Does it save the videos or is it just like
it
live?
It saves the video, but
oh,
it doesn't
cool.
take up storage space on your phone.
Okay.
So it's called Marco Polo. I love it. That's
oh,
just one thing I love because I have a big family and we love chatting and seeing pictures of the kids and stuff in video. So it's only video.
Amazing.
Another new thing that I love, I probably told you about this at your last appointment, my mineral sunscreen.
Wearing it today.
I'm like obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
I love mineral sunscreen. I don't like chemical sunscreens because I think they can break you out. And there's obviously a chemical component if you want to be a little bit more earthy and natural. People don't like putting chemicals on their skin.
Right.
But also chemicals break me out. So I love mineral-based sunscreens, either zinc oxide or titanium dioxide based. And I love tinted ones because zinc and titanium tend to be whiter, and they're not cosmetically elegant. If you wear it on a day-to-day basis, you can see the white
chalky
paste around your eyebrows and hairline. So I'm digging right now the La Roche-Posay Mineral Tinted 50. I also got this Australian Gold Mineral Tinted one. Ooh. But I really like both of them.
Does the Australian Gold one smell like Australian Gold? Like memories?
No, it's not. So it's, and I got that on Amazon. It's really nice. And then my third thing I'm obsessed with, because I love wine and I love coffee. It's like the mom thing. It's like you drink coffee in the morning, then water, then wine at night. There's this new wine. Have you guys heard of Apothic wine?
Yeah.
Yes. So it's a California blend. They have a red, they have a white, they have an Inferno, they have a Crush. There's one called Apothic Cold Apothic Brew. I think we have.
Oh, I've seen
oh.
that.
Oh, we have it right here. Yeah, because funny. My front desk woman like knows I'm obsessed with it. So it's like cold brew. It's a coffee infused red wine.
Really?
It's delicious.
Is
so
it
it's
also
like
crack. Like it's crazy.
It is amazing. So it's like you have that. It's a very richy, smoky sort of wine. Really good with dark chocolate. Really good after dinner. Yeah. But I have had it for like appetizer wine, and it's so good.
Yeah.
So that's my new like obsession.
Yeah,
is this cold
one.
Brew
I've
wine?
Because
it's like
it.
A combination of like my love for coffee and my love for a red wine.
Yeah, and you can get that at like Harris Teeter, I think, right?
Yeah, that's
not
where
like
I've seen
a specialty
it. Yeah.
place.
I
yeah.
saw this one at Target, so like you can get
yeah,
anywhere.
Target.
Yeah, Target wine, it's my jam. There's my family, actually like three people sent it to me, which is like probably a sign. There's now a rosé keg situation happening.
What?
Oh
at
my
Target?
Goodness.
No, not at Target.
Oh, I was like, what?
But just like things that I probably will need in the future. Although I'm probably going to be drinking it alone. So I'm like, how long does it last? Am I putting it in my fridge? Do I need a kegerator now?
Can
like,
you do a how long
keg stand?
Yeah.
How long could I go for? Like, it's always just very important question.
You know, at Target, I noticed the other day, they have a really good selection of, like, the mini champagne bottles. Not, I feel like I, like, once every 3 years, I'm, like, looking for them, and I can never find them.
For, like, a party
or yeah, or, like, a gift or something, and I, like, saw them at Target the other day, and I was like, this, I need to, like, mental note this.
Just buy it all.
Burn it in my brain.
Yeah.
What are you loving right now other than mini champagne bottles?
I'm reading this book called The Woman in the Window, and it's really fascinating.
Is it creepy? It sounds creepy.
It's not super creepy. It's, like, very interesting. It's definitely, like, a suspense thriller.
Ooh,
but
cool.
It's not, like, scary or... It's more like a psychological thriller. Like,
okay.
You basically, like... You know that she's kind of crazy because she, like, basically can't go outside of her house. She has, like, a fear of the outside world.
Mm.
But, like, anyway.
It's kind of like you. Are you writing a book?
I don't have a fear of the outside world. I just don't like to go outside sometimes. But
okay, I'm gonna check it
it's
out.
Very good. I'm almost halfway through it. I think I started it, like, not even last week.
Nice.
But it's really good.
Check it out.
And it's not too scary to read before bedtime.
Sensitive kids.
The next, one of my favorite things is Sunday Forever Air Detox. So if you guys have been listening from the beginning, you know my friend Ashley Stockton. So she sent me the Air Detox, which is like, I am not sure what's in it, but it's like eucalyptus lavender. And it just like makes everything
like,
smell amazing before you go to bed.
Is it like a diffuser?
Spray?
It's like a spray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's.
I love that.
So, like, lovely before bed. And then I
Sunday
recently...
Sunday Forever is everything.
Yeah, Sunday Forever is, like... She sold out of that, like, coconut perfume thing. I'm so glad I got one!
Sunday Forever is something you would just, like, die for. It's, like her whole concept is she wants Sunday to last forever.
Yeah.
It's, like, who doesn't
like
want
life
that?
Of, she calls herself CEO of leisure.
Where can you get it?
SundayForever.com.
Yeah.
Awesome.
She's based on New York.
And then my last favorite thing is I just bought the Sunday Riley Good Jeans. I had used it back when I worked at Birchbox and got my awesome discount. So I repurchased that and I love it. It's like, it's a serum with lactic acid and glycolic.
Oh.
And it smells like lemongrass. It's so, some people hate the smell, but I really like it. It smells really nice and adds to like my like aromatherapy at night.
Nice. I use a pillow spray, a lavender pillow spray.
I do too.
That's kind of like
so
the air
nice.
Detox.
It's a little bit. That one's probably invigorating, and so this one's like zonking me out. Lavender is just like.
I have it all over my baby's crib. I'm like, go
do
to
you?
Bed, go to bed.
That's such a good idea. Do that to my puppy.
she'd bite at it.
Like definition of domestic terrorism. Oh my god, she's so bad. Okay, I'm going right along to my favorite thing. Speaking of lavender, Dr. Brommer's lavender is like.
Love it.
Just
I have
like
it.
Infiltrated my life. Like today, I cleaned my makeup brushes with it.
Oh, cool.
I use it, like, for... I just had a couple freckles removed, and, like, it feels gentle enough that I don't feel like it's going to, like, jack anything up. I wash my dog in it. It's my whole life right now. By that, like, big economy size.
Have you ever read the side of, like, the label? It's so weird.
It's so weird.
This guy, he was actually, like, a really weird guy.
Yeah, that's
Have you read about him?
Him and the GT Kombucha. Have you ever read those labels? Same concept.
Yeah.
Real weird. It's just, like, mantras and Bible things. And like,
I love the peppermint one, too. Yeah. It's my jam.
Oh, yeah, that's good for morning time.
I, like, love it. That's my body wash.
Is it, like, cocktail?
It's horribly drying. I'm, like, the worst dermatologist.
Is
it? No one should use it. It's so drying. It'll dry your skin, but it's awesome.
It's dry?
It can be a little bit drying, yeah. So, but I love it. I love the Dr. Bronner's. Just don't read the labels. You'll get...
freaked out.
You'll get freaked out.
Yeah, it's, like, a little influential. Okay. Patchology, flash, patch, mask, eye gels. I probably have talked about these, but they're just, like, my whole world right now, especially with allergies being so bad.
Oh,
they're, like,
yeah.
These cooling patches that you put on for, like, 5 minutes. It's kind of the same thing as using, like, your ice roller. And then it basically makes you look less tired and puffy and
they just feel
hungover.
So nice. They feel, like, so, like, luxurious to, like, put them on for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
like
and they do have a nighttime spa. One. There's a nighttime one with retinol now. Mm-hmm. I have them. I haven't used them because I don't understand what retinol is. Which
we'll get into that, yeah.
You should definitely use it. It's good. Good
and
stuff.
Then my last thing is, like, fresh herbs for water. I've gotten, like, very bored with water lately, so I bought, like, a peppermint plant and a basil plant, and I just, like, stick that jam in my water every day, and I'm chugging my water again.
I had, Sweet Green has this cucumber lime ginger water that was so good yesterday. Yeah.
And it's just infused?
It was delicious.
No sugar? So you know how I feel about sugar.
I don't think there's any added sugar, no. It didn't taste, like, sugary at all.
Woohoo!
It was delish.
Okay, that's
but you could do that, like cucumber, whatever else I just said.
Oh, it's
ginger,
like the
lime.
Chicken, the kitchen sink situation inside my water. Okay, moving along. I'm going to do my words to live by now.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm really, really, really bad at accepting compliments. It's just like a life issue.
I feel like most women are.
Yeah.
It's like a female thing.
It is. I know.
For sure.
Yeah. I don't know. It just drives me nuts because I want to be able to be like,
well,
thank you.
It feels
like
awkward
eye contact
sometimes.
And like mean
yeah.
it. Anyway, so I've been, like, reading all about it, and I'm like, how can I read myself into knowing how to do this? So anyway, there's this quote I read that I really liked, and it said, "We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, famous? Actually, who are you not to be? We're all meant to shine just as children do, and as we let our own light shine, we're actually unconsciously giving other people permission to do the same."
Yes.
Like, there we go. Like, if we can't do it for ourselves, try to do it for somebody else.
Right.
Anyway, that's from a book called A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. So those are my words to live by this
I
week.
I love them.
I think very peaceful
that's
this
beautiful.
Week.
Yeah.
Thank you. Normally I'm
let
just
your
like,
light shine.
Let your light shine, girl.
Okay, so my words to live by are, I feel like they're like appropriate for today. They're from Estee Lauder.
Yeah.
We learn so much every day. Or sorry, we learn too much every day to be satisfied with yesterday's achievements.
Ooh, go get them, girl.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yep, moving right along.
Short and sweet.
I like it. How about you?
I have a one word to live by. It's balance. I mean,
yes.
It's just, I'm a Libra, which is my zodiac sign. It's the only tattoo I have is of my zodiac sign.
Cool.
And I'm the middle kid out of 5 kids, so I'm kind of always the mediator of them. But also now, you know, I work 2 jobs. I have 2 kids. It's constantly like, am I being a good mom? Am I being a good enough dermatologist? Am I being a good enough wife? Am I being a good enough sister and daughter? And then I have notes to do at night. Then I have to pump, and I have to have a glass of wine, and
yeah.
I have to say hi to my husband, you know?
Priority.
So it's constantly like just trying to find that balance and realizing day to day, like, okay, I didn't work out today. I'll do tomorrow. I didn't do that. You know, it's kind of, everyone's striving to like be this perfect role model. And especially being a dermatologist, you see all these patients and you have to like look good every day and sound mm-hmm. smart every day. And sometimes it's like, oh my God, it's exhausting. But you
yeah.
have to realize like everyone's human, you know, everyone, you know, constantly trying to like be this best version of yourself can be exhausting, but also just knowing that, okay, I didn't do it today, I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Right.
I didn't do it this week, I'm going to do it next week, you know? So constantly just trying to find that happy place and make sure that you're being well-rested and also kind of achieving those day-to-day-to-day little goals. So just, I would say balance. Like, trying to find that, it's always going to be impossible. I have these, like, mega to-do lists for work and life in my house and my yard. So, but I'm trying to, like, be more zen about it, especially now with the second kid. It's like, when I get home, it's like, I need to play with you. These are the 3 hours I have with
right.
you. So
yeah.
chill out, you know, so.
Yeah. Is it true what they say about second kid?
No, I don't know. 'Cause my second, I have a boy, he's three, and then my daughter is 5 months. So it's just like different.
All
like
new,
he's
yeah.
crazy, and she's like this cute little chubby girl. So it's like, I don't know. So it's still so much fun right now.
Yeah, so cute. And how old is your son?
Three.
Three, yeah.
He's nuts.
So you're bored right now.
Oh my god.
That's so fun. So did you always know that you wanted to be a dermatologist?
No, totally not. Oh my god, people ask me like, how'd you get into med school? And I totally was not like med school bound in college. I liked science and I liked biology, so mm-hmm. I was undergrad biology, but I was also a music minor and a voice minor, and I played guitar and was in a singing group, and I totally thought I was like gonna go to LA and like be a singer and play guitar and be a hippie, like the hippie I am internally. But but in reality, no, I didn't. I was biology and not really pre-med, so I did lots of like science and plant studies and animal studies, and kind of my pathway to dermatology is so funny. It's that after I graduated, I was an EMT for a little bit, and didn't really like the vibe working out of the firehouse. You would think like a young girl working in a firehouse, you think like, oh, all these hot firemen.
Yeah, no, they're creepy.
Oh my god, it was like a bunch of like.
They are.
I can't say anything bad about firefighters because my brother-in-law, who I love dearly, is a firefighter.
And my dad is a firefighter.
But
so
it just
I'm
for being
to, right?
for being a 21-year-old girl, it wasn't like the hot, like shirtless men. It was like a bunch of these like older guys, and I was the only woman in the whole department. So
it wasn't like what's the Chicago Fire? Not like that.
Oh my god, I would
no Severide.
So I was an EMT for a little bit, then I was a bartender, and then I pretty much was like, do I want to go to nursing school or med school? Or I don't know, or PA school, and so. I answered some jobs for like medical assisting positions, and they were like, you're a little overqualified. You've got a bachelor's in science. But I was like, I just need to know if I want to do medicine or not.
Yeah.
And my first interview was at a dermatology office, and I got it on the spot, and I started working there. And within the first month of me working there, I'm never going to forget this. My cousin, who was getting married, later on that year, wanted to get like some veins zapped on her face and just wanted like some cosmetic touch-ups. And so I was like, oh, come to the dermatologist I work for. She'll take care of you.
Right.
And that visit, the dermatologist at the time was like, we're doing 5 biopsies on her. And one of them came back as a melanoma.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, holy crap. Like, I can't believe they just found a melanoma on her.
Right.
And it was thin. It was cut out early. Saved her life. But then, because of that, I told all of the relatives, everyone needs to get their skin checked. Like, their melanoma can be a genetic familial thing. And then my aunt had a melanoma too.
Wow.
So then 2 people within a month in my family were found to have melanoma. I was like, oh my god, this is crazy. And then just working there for a couple years before medical school kind of just really got me in love with the skin and dermatology.
Yeah.
It's such a cool field. I feel so blessed to be in it because it's such a competitive field. it's a really hard residency to match into, but I get to kind of see the whole gamut. I get to see pediatrics, geriatrics. I get to do really hard things like melanoma and skin checks and autoimmune diseases and immunological diseases, but then I get to do cosmetics and lasers and acne and warts and psoriasis and Botox and filler. So there's like art to it and science behind it, but it's very intellectual, and in some ways it's so rewarding because if you tell somebody like your blood pressure looks horrible or your diabetes is out of control, they don't see that, and they're not going to really watch their diet. And but if you tell somebody like your skin looks horrible, you've got to wear sunscreen, or oh my gosh, like you've got this rash, please use this cream. People selfishly care so much more about their outward appearance that it's actually more rewarding when I actually see, you know, people get improved with their skin disease. So it's great because it's such a visual science. I love it. So.
Yeah, and I always wonder. Like, I mean, skincare is so much like hotter now than I probably ever was. Like SPF's been like a thing for a long time now, but like. The care that people put into their skin and how much like we're all obsessed with it has to just like come through so much in your job because people are like desperate for you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. Lots of cool stuff. Okay, so let's dive into some of these questions that people are dying to know about. So everybody knows I'm a redhead, and SPF is like, I wish there was like a machine where I could just like dunk my entire body into it every day.
Oh my god, yes.
But aside from SPF, what can amazing. We do? In our daily routine for anti-aging?
So a couple things. So first off, I think when people talk about SPF, they think about like, oh, I'm going to the beach all day. I'm going to the pool all day. I'm going to wear my sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many things that people don't know about SPF and sunscreen. Mm-hmm. I just gave a lecture on it at ANOVA actually a couple weeks ago to a bunch of melanoma survivors. first and foremost, if you're going to be at the beach in the pool all day, outside gardening all day, you need your sunscreen. But people always are applying it wrong. People are always, I still got burned. I still got tanned. I swore I wore my sunscreen. I said, well, you didn't do it right. So first and foremost, like, you have to wear an SPF 30 or 50. You have to apply it before you go outside. You got to rub it all in, the nooks and the crannies.
Like 2 hours before?
No,
15 minutes
no.
before?
So there's two main classes of sunscreens. There's mineral, there's physical blockers that are the mineral sunscreens, titanium and zinc based, and
right.
there's the chemical blockers that, if it's a hard to pronounce word, it's a chemical sunscreen,
okay.
essentially. Chemical sunscreens take about 15 to 20 minutes to soak into your skin so they can do the chemical reaction to actually work. So those are the ones you actually do have to apply a little bit before, but in general, you do want to apply sunscreen before so it kind of soaks in your skin. You want to apply it before you put on your bathing suit so it can get around all the nooks and crannies. And so by the time you get to the beach or to get to the pool, it's already on. And then you have to reapply it every 2 to 3 hours, especially if you're swimming or toweling or sweating. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do it wrong. They get to the beach. They're setting up for 5, 10
right.
minutes. And then they quickly do like a spray and a spray. And they're like, oh, I'm good to go. And then they jump in the ocean and
right.
it all washes away. So no wonder you got burned, you know?
Right.
So the acute intermittent sun exposure is very important to wear sunscreen. That will definitely prevent bad burns, which will definitely prevent skin cancer.
Okay.
But people often forget about the chronic cumulative sun exposure you get just from driving and running errands and going out and getting coffee and having lunch with your girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And people always say, oh, well, I work indoors. And I go, well, how'd you get to work today? Oh, in the car. Well, how long were you in the car for? Oh, an hour commute. Okay, well, that whole hour you were in the car, especially on the left side of your face, that sun's coming through. And people say, well, it was cloudy today. It was rainy today. I go, well, okay. The sun, the UV factor, the ultraviolet radiation isn't as strong because there's some clouds blocking it. But
right.
can you still see the road in front of you? Yeah, it's illuminated
yeah.
by light, right? It's not nighttime.
You can see.
So we can still see. So I say, if you can still see, there's still light coming through and it's still damaging your skin cells.
Right.
So I tell my patients every day, put a moisturizer with sunscreen on your whole face. So I say in the morning, make it simple, stupid. You wash your face, you brush your teeth, moisturizer with sunscreen on your face.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wearing something low cut, get it onto your neck and décolletage area, and then tops of your hands. Everyone starts aging the tops of their hands. So definitely sunscreen, sunscreen, sunscreen every day, and then definitely thicker, bigger amounts when you're going to be outdoors for a prolonged
right.
time. And then for overall anti-aging, you know, it depends on what stage you are in your life. I think in the retinol.
Specifically in the 30 to 32 range.
Okay, so the reason I bring this up because retinol is very important. You know, retinol
yes.
and retinoids and retin-A, they're all in the topical vitamin A family, and they can help prevent wrinkles and sun damage and help the cells
mm-hmm.
turn over, and they can also help build collagen. So awesome for anti-aging and also awesome for acne. So
right.
we use it for acne, but we use it for aging and wrinkles. But you have to be careful in this 30 age group because you can't use it when you're pregnant or nursing.
Okay.
So I haven't used it for the last 4 or 5 years because I've been pregnant or nursing for the last 4 or 5 years, right? So if you're not in that, if that's not in your stage of your life right now, then definitely getting a retinol on at night or a retinoid. You know, retinol is more of the weaker over-the-counter one. Retinoids
okay.
are the prescription ones. That's the only difference. It's like they change a little molecule from a retinol to a retinoid.
Okay.
But they're
yeah.
all in the topical vitamin A family.
Gotcha.
And retinols are generally weaker over-the-counter. Retinoids are the prescription strength from
yeah.
the dermatologist.
Okay.
So a little
but
bit of...
But sorry, so like an over-the-counter one, like a Skin C one, is still going... is a positive thing. It doesn't have to be a prescription.
Correct.
Okay.
And I often tell patients, you know, start with the over-the-counter ones first. They can be very irritating, very drying, and everyone thinks, oh, I've got wrinkles around my eyes. I'm going to put the retinol
no.
around my eyes. And then they come in with, like, this crazy rash. And I'm like, well, how much were you putting? So less is more with retinol. You have to do, a pea-sized amount. I tell patients even mix it with a little bit of lotion first,
okay.
and they can start low and slow. They can start every third night, then they can build it up to every other night, and then they can build it up to every night. And some patients can play around with it that in the winter, they may only be able to tolerate a pea-sized amount mixed with a big glob of lotion 3 nights a week.
Okay.
And then in the summer, they can use a bigger glob every night. So you can play around with it. And I have some patients, depending on your skin type, some oily patients can tolerate the prescription strength, whereas some dry patients can only tolerate like the over-the-counter version.
Right.
So adding a retinol into your evening routine is very important. We don't use retinols in the morning because it's photosensitizing. We do sunscreens in the morning. Another thing I really like is topical vitamin C.
Oh, yeah.
It's an antioxidant. So, you know, we're exposed to all these oxidizing chemicals in our environment every day. So using an antioxidant, besides just taking your vitamins, applying it topically, like vitamin C and E are very, very good antioxidants. And they have percentages ranging from 10 to 30%.
Okay.
I use one now that's a 30% that we sell here. I love it. So, because again, I'm nursing right now, I can't use the retinol. So I use, that's my morning routine. I use, you know, vitamin C in the morning and then put on my, mineral sunscreen. I love it.
Nice. Protect that little face. Okay, so you have to settle something that Casey and I have disagreed on.
I'm filling up
Can you get a sunburn in the car with the windows up?
Absolutely.
Well, not tinted, though.
Okay, right? so let's back up.
We're both
so,
Did the window... Your sunroof is tinted.
Okay, well, no. So sunlight still gets through the car window. And I encourage listeners, oh my God, this picture will blow you away. Google New England Journal of Medicine truck driver face. Just Google those words. So there's this incredible picture that I use when I'm educating patients. It's this woman who kind of looks like an old wrinkly man that was a truck driver for like 50 years. And the left side of her face is like a wrinkly, atrophic mess, whereas the right side of her face looks kind of normal. And she was a truck driver and just never wore sunscreen, and you could see just the difference in loss of collagen and wrinkling and sun damage on the left side. So... okay, so if you get tinted windows, it provides some protection. It's not 100%.
Right.
You can go to the DMV and get you can go to the DMV and get a special letter that a doctor can fill out to give you medical grade tinting. So I do that a lot for my melanoma patients and for my lupus patients.
For like a baller ride.
So you can get go get tinting any percentage you want, but then you might get pulled over by a cop and say, why are your windows black? You know?
They're like, because I have melanoma.
No, but then you have to get a note. So if you feel like you're very photosensitive or you get burned a lot. I see so many skin cancers on the left arm, too. So many. I always am looking at the left side of the neck, the left ear, the left face, because it is exposed. And I guess if you're in Europe, the right side, or if you're constantly the passenger.
Right.
But you can, I've been burned in the car. I remember driving one time, like, you know, for 3 hours, and I got, like, burned on my chest from where the visor was down. So you can definitely get sun through the car. Tinted windows help abate that. Sunscreen helps abate that, but it's not 100%.
Okay, it's fine. We're both right. Moving on. I know. I want to. We'll link to that.
I have a question.
Can
you still get vitamin D if you have sunscreen on?
Oh my God.
We just talked about
this. This is such a hot topic. I could talk for an hour on vitamin D. I have given a lecture on vitamin D on my Grand Rounds at Inova. So, okay, so vitamin D, we get from the ultraviolet B rays from the sun, not UVA. So UVB rays come through the sun, our skin senses it, converts the vitamin D precursor in our skin, then it has to go to our kidney, to our liver, and then our kidneys to go through all these enzymatic steps to become active vitamin D, right?
Okay.
So there's several steps that when we see the sunlight, our skin can make vitamin D, but then it has to go through the other processes, other organs to kind of become active vitamin D. You can still, no sunscreen is going to block 100% of the rays, first and foremost. So you can still get some of your ultraviolet radiation, and you can still get some vitamin D production through the ultraviolet rays. However, after 15 minutes of pure sunlight on your skin, your vitamin D receptors are fully saturated for the day.
Yeah.
So after 15 minutes, you're just damaging your skin. You're not getting any more benefit from vitamin D production. So you might as well... you know, don't try to get more than 15 minutes of unexposed sunlight if you feel like I need to get my vitamin D from the sun.
Unexposed with SPF?
You it's going to be blocked significantly.
Right.
You know, depending on the SPF value, but it will be blocked significantly from SPF or clothing. You know, clothing like jeans provides almost like an SPF 70. It's very tightly knit versus a cotton shirt. It's a much thinner knit. But if you're truly vitamin D deficient, which like everyone is now. We're calling it a pandemic, and it's not a bad thing. It's essentially because of evolution. We're no longer hunters and gatherers living on the open, you know, fields and you know, outside. We work indoors. We drive in these cars. We, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we're not outside all day.
Yeah.
So because of our lifestyle, we are more indoors. We're not getting enough vitamin D. But it's not just the skin, you know, if you have a problem with absorption, if you have a kidney issue, a liver issue, a gut issue, you might remember vitamin D has all these steps to kind of become the active form. You're not going to make appropriate vitamin D. So I have all my melanoma patients at Inova. I tell them wear sunscreen, you know, wear sun protective clothing. And so they're all making them vitamin D deficient, essentially, right? And I'm not telling them to go get sun because they're just going to get sun damage and they're going to increase their chance of skin cancer. So If you truly are vitamin D deficient, then you can take supplements. Mm-hmm. You can take over-the-counter vitamins. There's prescription-strength vitamins. And then, you know, food that's high in vitamin D.
Right?
So everyone, you know, so many people say your receptors are fully saturated, so you might as well just then...
Got it. So it's not like people freak out that there's not enough vitamin D. So like, it's just like, is it just not as big of a deal as it like kind of like has the trend has made it to be?
Vitamin D deficiency is an important thing. You know, you need vitamin D for bone health and you know, some studies have linked vitamin D with depression and vitamin D deficiency with depression and cancer and osteoporosis and all sorts of things. But we don't recommend as dermatologists you only relying on your vitamin D from the sun.
Right. Got it.
And there were studies, too, that showed, you know, like surfers in Australia were vitamin D deficient. And you're like, dude, you're outside all day long and you're still vitamin D deficient. So, again, because it's not just from the sun. If they've got a problem with other forms of absorption or problems with their gut or their liver or their kidneys and it's not processing that reaction correctly. So, yeah, and then depending on the tone of your skin, how much melanin you have is going to kind of depend on how much vitamin D you can absorb. You know, African Americans and darker skin patients have darker skin, so they're more prone to be vitamin D deficient.
Right.
You know, because that melanin in their skin kind of acts as its own natural SPF anyway.
Right. I read an article that gingers don't need as much, so we're good here.
So yeah, so I mean, most people have a touch of vitamin D deficiency, mostly because of our environmental changes now, you know, working and living and driving in enclosed areas. And I recommend to get tested, and if you're vitamin D deficient, then supplement with food or vitamins, and don't necessarily feel like you need to go tanning. Oh, and the other thing I'd like to say, everyone thinks that I stupidly went to tanning salons when I was younger, and I remember a lot of the times the tanning salons would come get your dose of vitamin D. It's so good for you.
Oh, really?
It's such a lie.
Playboy
tanning
sticker.
Oh my god. Like right here, in the little
on your hip.
Little tramp stampy.
So much regret.
Yeah. Oh my god. So tanning salons, tanning beds are UVA.
Right.
They're primarily UVA A rays. So what did I say? UVB rays are the ones that make vitamin D. So if you feel like, oh, I'm going to go to the tanning salon and get my vitamin D, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen from those bulbs.
It's bonkers to me that there aren't the same regulations on tanning beds. There are on like cigarettes now. You know what I mean?
In certain states, there is.
They're getting there. You know,
New Jersey and Connecticut, I think, have.
You know, Congress has been making some moves, and things are becoming... you know, now you have to be 18 or you need a parental consent and all this stuff. So I think now with public information and knowledge of skin cancer, I think people are realizing the problems with it.
Yeah. It's also like become, cause I mean, when I was in high school, Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie were like the coolest people ever. And they were so orangey tan where like, it's just not the cool thing to do anymore,
which
is
to be like super baked
great.
And everyone asks about sunless tanner and they're like, oh, it's a chemical. I don't want to put on my, it's sunless tanner is completely safe. And actually it's organic. You know, the chemical in sunless tanner is dihydroxyacetone, which is like a carboxylated sugar. So it's super safe to put on your skin. It's not bad. You know, everyone's like, oh, I don't want to put the chemical. It's fine. It's
definitely
better than
lying out in the sun with no sunscreen.
Yeah, and I mean, the smell of hamsters is so much better than burning skin. smell like a hamster wheel or like a pet store.
When you weigh the scales, I would probably go with hamster.
Don't worry, I'm about to. I put it on every day before we went to Miami, and I was like, Casey, don't I look so tan? She's like, no. So some people, I think, just don't get tan, but it's okay. I'm just going to, like, let that dream die a little bit. It's okay. All right, anything else on SPF before we move along? Because this is one of your favorite life topics.
Well, I do think so. I think there was a question about melasma. So I had melasma, which a retinoid got rid of. But I don't know if you want to talk about melasma.
Yeah.
I feel like it's related.
Melasma too. I had melasma in medical school because I was on birth control pills and
I owned
a convertible and drove around with the top down like a freaking idiot.
Future dermatologist.
I know, Oh my gosh, it was so bad. So melasma is a condition of hyperpigmentation of the skin. The melanocytes in your skin increase more melanin, which is the pigment, and it deposits it in areas of the face, such as like the forehead, the upper lip, the malar cheeks, and it's this blotchy sort of geometric-y brown patches, more common in darker-skinned individuals.
Is it a sunspot?
It's not a sunspot.
Okay.
It's patches from the sun and from hormones. So
it's like crazy freckles.
Yeah, but it's more patchy. Sunspots are truly like a freckle or a sunspot. So this is like these weird patches that happen on the forehead and on the cheeks. And it's a combination of sun and hormones. So we see it a lot with birth control use. We see it a lot more in women than men because we naturally have these estrogenic surges throughout our cycles. Mm-hmm. We see it a lot during pregnancy. And the best thing to do is to use SPF every day, like a broad spectrum. When I say broad spectrum, that means it's covering the UVA and the UVB rays every single day. And in, even if you're indoors, some people say, like, literally, Dr. Lucy, I work in a basement. Like, I don't have, and I go, there are studies that all that these, like, bulbs, like fluorescent bulbs, can trigger certain photosensitive dermatoses, such as, you know, even lupus rashes and polymorphic light eruption and melasma. So I say, that's why I tell people, put it next to your toothbrush every single day. Who cares if you're staying inside?
It doesn't hurt anything, yeah.
It doesn't hurt anything. So, well, it might make you vitamin D deficient, but So you wear the sunscreen every day. You gotta have strict sun avoidance. Retin-A, tretinoin, some sort of retinol can help exfoliate and lighten. We also use bleaching cream called hydroquinone that can help lighten. But if any benefit you get from these nighttime creams, like the retinols or the hydroquinones, if you get an ounce of sun in the morning, you're just wasting your money and time putting that cream on at night. So I got mine better by using like a bleaching and a peeling agent and sunscreen, and it went away. So
it's surface.
It's surface, and then actually, melasma has two components. You can have an epidermal component or a dermal component, and if you go to like a dermatologist, they'll be able to look for it under a special light to kind of see how deep your pigmentation goes. And then we also use lasers for it. The really resistant cases, we have some lasers and deeper chemical peels that can really help get that pigment off.
Cool.
But it can be hard. I mean, sometimes you just really have to get off the birth control pill or wait until you're not pregnant or anything, and really tackle it hard. But another thing I like to promote is something called HelioCare. It's a really funky supplement. You were talking about, like, is there some machine that can just, like, dunk me in SPF?
Right.
So this supplement's called HelioCare. You can buy it on Amazon or at CVS or Walgreens. I'm going to have to try to think now. The name of it's a tropical fern from, like, South Africa or something.
Wow.
Or some African or some fern. And Polypodium leucotomus. Oh my gosh, I'm hoping I'm remembering it right. So that's like the genus species name of the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be like a marine plant that evolved to become a land plant. And as it evolved, it had to make its own sunscreen because now it's out in the sun.
Oh, wow.
But if you take these supplements that's made out of this fern, it actually helps prevent the DNA damage that's happening from ultraviolet radiation. So some people call it like a pill version
that's
of sunscreen.
Crazy.
Because you might still get burned, but you're not going to get burned as badly, and your cells in the basal layer of your skin, like the melanocytes, are being more protected. It's kind of like taking it's called HelioCare, and that's something I also recommend for my melasma patients. Like,
Very cool.
It's going to protect your skin. If you're going to go on vacation, take it. It's like it will help you not get burned and not damage your cells.
Yeah, before Africa, I'm going to get my yellow fever shot, and I'm going to get my whatever.
HelioCare.
My HelioCare.
Yeah, I know. I actually got melasma after I came off birth control. Hormones are weird.
Hormone
fluctuations can just cause it. I mean,
hormones are weird. Okay, let's talk about hormones. We've got a lot of questions about that.
Okay,
right?
Cool.
So, I mean, everything from they just seem to get worse as we get into our 30s. How do we prevent and stop them? What is hormonal acne? Why is everything falling apart? This is the general sentiment.
Okay, so, oh my God, so many questions all at once. So what are hormones? I mean, we make estrogen and progesterone. Those are the main hormones that women make, and they are cyclical during our cycle. So depending on where you are, you have an estrogenic surge and a progesterone surge, and depending on what hormone it is, that's why you ovulate and menstruate every month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why your skin becomes a mess every month, is because it's not just like a steady state. It's like high and low and low and high. And so some people never have acne in teenage years, and then all of a sudden they hit 30s and they get adult acne, and they're like, what the hell? Why? You know, I would have rather had it in high school.
Yeah, like on my neck, because that's hot.
And now you're like a young professional, and you're trying to do your thing, and you've got hormonal acne. Hormonal acne also is very focused around like the lower jaw, lower neck area. And so that acne is more from the androgens, more from the male hormones. So women and men both women have male and female hormones in our body, but more of the female. Men have both male and female hormones of their body, but more of the male. So the male hormones are called androgens. And when we see androgenic acne, it's more the lower jaw, lower face. It's kind of those deeper, more painful ones, and they're more associated with the hair follicle. You can get like an ingrown weird hair, cystic kind of lump down in the lower jaw, lower neck. A couple ways to treat it. You can go on the pill. you can go on the pill, which then stabilizes acne.
Pill helps so much.
Because then it keeps you at a steady state. You're not doing this high and low every month. There are certain pills that, certain birth control pills that have a little bit of an anti-androgen in them. So it kind of also helps. I have a lot of my female patients on a diuretic called spironolactone, which is a very mild diuretic, but it's an anti-androgen. And there are some side effects that we talk about. We have to check your blood, make sure your potassium's okay after a couple of months of being on it. But it can really help that lower jaw, lower face acne. Getting on a nice retinol, getting on some topical medicine. I really like Axone.
Love Axone.
High five for Axone.
Yeah,
I love Axone
for hormonal acne. I tell a lot of my patients that have acne again to switch from chemical sunscreens to mineral sunscreens.
Yeah.
And I was like stupidly all, you know, using just some over the counter generic, you know, daily SPF 15 on my face. And I kept breaking out, And it wasn't until I was pregnant with my first son that one of my dermatology friends was like, oh my gosh, you're using this chemical sunscreen. Your kid's going to be born with like a fifth eye. Stop it. And I was like, oh my God. And so, and my face was horrible. Oh my God. When I was early pregnant, my face was like horrible. They're like, you're a dermatologist. So I'm like, I swear I'm pregnant. They're like, no, you're not. I'm like, I swear I am. So I switched to mineral sunscreens, meaning think of the periodic table. Minerals on the periodic table. Zinc-based or titanium-based, either zinc oxide or titanium dioxide. So you just have to read the labels.
Right.
And say this, same thing with food. Like, you have to read the labels. Like, what's in this food? Read the freaking label. Same thing, what's in this sunscreen? Read the label, because some sunscreens can be so deceiving that they say mineral-based sunscreens, and they might have minerals in it. It might have titanium and zinc in it, but then it's got oxybenzone, octinoxinate, avobenzone, all these things that can be very irritating to the skin, cause reactions, bad for the environment, bad for hormones.
Yeah.
So I tell patients to switch to a mineral-based sunscreen, because I think a lot of times getting rid of those chemicals, especially in the greasy, oily, pory areas of the lower face, can help clear them up. So I'll do gentle washes, maybe some birth control, maybe some spironolactone, maybe some Axone, maybe some retinol, switch them to mineral and mineral sunscreen. But it's just a pain in the butt, you know, it happens.
It's just going to happen, especially, and then if you then go on to have children, it's all going to get jacked up again. So
it depends. I mean, some people clear up during pregnancy, and some people get worse during pregnancy. So things to look forward to. Everyone's different. You know, the human body never ceases to, you know, to amaze me. And that's the cool thing about dermatology. It's just, it's so humbling. You know, you see so many, you get the privilege of, like, seeing people's skin all day long, and their most intimate, like, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't shave my legs today. I'm like, I've seen
50 things.
Naked people today. I'm not that concerned that your legs aren't shaved. You know?
Well, that's what I literally thought in the car on the way over here. I was like, this is probably the first time she's ever going to see me in clothes. Oh, that's going to be so great. And here we are. No, but that's so true. And I mean, so like a little bit of background about my medical health. All my doctors are hot. It's just like the weirdest thing, like including Dr. Lucy, my hip surgeon, so hot. And I was like, he's not going to see anything, right? Super no, like full surgical table. And so like I constantly am like, maybe I do live inside Grey's Anatomy. Like I'm having that firefighter experience.
That's so funny you say that. When I delivered my my son, I was a resident in New York City, and I delivered at Cornell, and my anesthesiologist was like freaking gorgeous, and I thought I was just dreaming. I'm like, oh, I'm loopy on the epidural. My mother-in-law was like, oh my God, like when he left. And then this female nurse came in, she was freaking Rihanna. She had like the Rihanna hair.
God.
I was that like, oh,
like, and where are we?
Everyone was like hot in that hospital. I was like, do they only hire hot people? So, and it wasn't just me. I was like, it's just the drugs, and that's why I think. But
it like was Seattle Grace.
No, seriously. And my surgeon lives in my building. We're like, we're neighbors.
Oh God,
and I'm like,
so
I can't.
He's like, I've seen your hips.
It's like I've told him. Like, exactly. And I remember Dr. Lucy supports me in this. Redheads require more anesthesia.
They
sometimes.
Do.
And so I was like super lubed up on anesthesia. I took like 4 hours post-op, which was like 3 hours longer than normal. And I looked down and I was like, why are you wearing Adidas sandals?
I was going to say, didn't you say something about a sneaker?
Yeah, I was like, ew, why are you wearing Adidas sandals? And then just like passed back out. My sister's like, sorry, she's so rude. I'm like, okay, it's because I love him. It's fine. My husband's like, okay, focus. Anyway, moving along to my next personal story. Okay, we get a lot of questions. Let's talk Botox, lasers, more the cosmetic stuff.
Cool.
I'm a fan of Botox. Thank you for that. People ask, like, when should they start? And let's just sort of talk through, like, people ask about risks, things like that.
Cool. So Botox, botulinum, Botox is the Allergan branded botulinum toxin. So other brands of botulinum toxin are Dysport and Xeomin, but everyone goes by the brand name via Allergan Botox. I use Botox all the time in my practice. It's a toxin that's injected very superficially into our forehead and our periocular muscles to help kind of paralyze them for a couple months at a time to help soften the wrinkles. Mm-hmm. People get super afraid. They're like, oh my God, it's a toxin. I'm like, well, yeah, it's a toxin, but we're injecting like teeny, teeny, tiny amounts into teeny, teeny little muscles. Mm-hmm. And I would like to say physicians have been using Botox since like the 70s for esophageal strictures, for tracheal problems. My friend who's a pediatric neurologist, they use mega amounts of Botox into like the thigh muscles of cerebral palsy patients and the gluteus muscles to kind of help relax spastic kids. So people are like, oh my God, it's so unsafe. It's a toxin. Well, okay, it is a toxin, but you know, aspirin can be a toxin, and Tylenol is like one of the biggest problems out there. People overdose on Tylenol and get liver failure every year from Tylenol.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's like the dose is the poison. You know, little bits of Botox aren't bad, and actually they're very smart to use in appropriate doses to prevent big, deep wrinkles and furrows. So I'm a big fan of preventative Botox, what we call baby Botox, you know, starting it in your 30s when you start noticing these wrinkles, you know, in between your eyes, which we call the 11s, or the horizontal lines in your forehead, or even the crow's feet around your eyes. I started Botox in medical school. I was studying all the time. I was like frowning. I remember waking up. I'd be like dreaming about studying. I'd wake up like with a big wrinkle in between my eyes. And I'd go like this in the morning and try to flatten it out. But literally.
It's like Meryl Streep that holds her eyes up.
Yeah. So literally doing Botox early on, before you get these big, heavy, hypertrophic, strong forehead muscles, is smart, because if you start Botox in your 60s or 70s and you've had 60 to 70 years of using and expressing these strong, strong muscles, they're very, very big. It's the same thing I tell people like weightlifters. If you break your arm and your arm is in a cast, you know, and then this arm's had months and months of using it for daily activity, when you get the cast off, which arm's going to be smaller? The arm that was in the cast, because you didn't use it for those 3 months.
Right.
And so if you don't use these muscles, it'll be flatter. You won't have those big, horrible ridges and these big, deep wrinkles. So doing Botox in small amounts in these little muscles to kind of help soften the lines and kind of weaken their activity is nice. And I think if you go somewhere and they do it gently and they do a syringe or two and they make you look natural and refreshed, like, I don't ever make any of my patients look frozen. I want them to look refreshed. And I've had people come in that you would never think want Botox. They're like these like librarians or teachers that would never, they're so earthy and organic, but they're like, my students are telling me I look so angry all the time.
Oh, no.
People are telling me I look tired all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And so it can really help open up the eyes and make you not look so angry. But again, I tell patients, I'm like, look at me, I've had Botox.
Look not so angry, but maybe
I say, look at me, I've had Botox, I'm not frozen, I can still make some expressions. And so I think, and again, it's a personal choice. I don't think, some people are super against it and they're still concerned because, you know, it's got the word toxin in it, but again, the dose is the poison, and you know, everything is with a grain of salt. I think that Botox is really good to start preventing the fine lines and wrinkles and this overgrowth of these muscles. I mean, if you look at some of these like male actors that have that deep line, you could give them, you know, 100 units of Botox, they're still going to have the deep line. They might not be able to move that line, but but the muscles are hypertrophied on both sides of it, you know? So it will take a long time for this to really soften up and flatten out. So I'm a big fan of Botox.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
As follow-up. One, 20s. Is it too young to start in your 20s?
That's, no.
We got a couple.
It depends. I mean, some people start making wrinkles in their 20s.
Okay.
Some people, I know 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds, like, my mom doesn't have any wrinkles. Like, it's just like, everyone's different. Genetics are different.
Okay.
How expressive your face is different. If you wear glasses and you squint a lot, like me in med school, I never had a wrinkle until med school, and I was like literally studying all the time, frowning all the time. And so it just depends. Some people's muscles are stronger, so it just depends. If you start noticing wrinkles at a young age and if it bothers you, then talk to your doctor about it and talk about a little bit of Botox. And it's not a permanent thing. It lasts 4 to 6 months. So if you hate it or if you feel like you don't look or feel like yourself, it goes away. You know, it's not a permanent thing. So it's nothing to be super scared of.
Okay. And so people, a few things about, like, the safety of it. Like, I personally have friends that have bought, like, Botox services off of Gilt or, like, Living Social, mm-hmm. like, discount. And I'm like, that just seems like, to me, Botox, like, needles in my face, not something I really want to get, like, a coupon for. Is there, like, a safety issue there? Like, what's sort of the risk factor of not going to a doctor?
Okay, so I really am glad you asked this because I think it's a very important thing. Everyone's getting laser hair removal packages on Groupon and mm-hmm. laser and filler. And I think that you really need to go to a board-certified dermatologist or a board-certified, like, master injector, which would be either a plastic surgeon or an ENT or a dermatologist if you're going to get... aesthetics done, filler or Botox. There's a lot of this whole hashtag fake derm out there, fake dermatologists out there, and there's a lot of people that are either nurses or you know, family medicine doctors or dentists or orthopedic surgeons that are offering Botox.
Really?
Because they're like, oh, I'm a doctor and I hate my job and now I want to start getting into cosmetics and aesthetics. And so I went to a weekend course on Botox and filler and now I'm a Botox expert. I see all those complications.
Oh, my God.
I saw a woman with, like, the most jacked up lips and I had to, like, dissolve her lips. And she showed me the card of the person who did it. It was an orthopedic surgeon. Like, who thinks that they can, like, have an orthopedic surgeon do their lips?
Yeah.
I can't go to a weekend course and learn how to do a C-section or learn how to do a nose job. No. So yeah. I know it's dermatology. Crazy. I don't know how to do open heart surgery or, you know. So I think if you want to go somewhere, you should research the person. You should make sure that they're board-certified dermatologist or board-certified plastics or board-certified ENT if you really want the facial anatomy done, mm-hmm. You know, for fillers and Botox. And... the problem with the Groupon deals is that sometimes they dilute the Botox a little bit too much because they're giving you specials on the price per unit, and all you see is a syringe. You don't know what's in it, and are they diluting it a little bit too much? I've had people that they're like, it didn't work, or it wore off so quickly, and I'm like, well, that's what you get for paying for crap, you know?
Gotcha.
Like, you know,
yeah, what you pay for.
So always. you have to be careful. I've seen complications from filler and from laser. You know, I've seen so many patients that are like, I've had, like, this laser done 6 times and the blood vessels never went away. I'm like, where the hell did you go?
Yeah.
And they're like, I got it at this Groupon and it was like $100. I'm like, well, I charge $500 for this laser. I do it one time and it goes away.
Right.
They're like, oh my gosh, I wish I had just known to go to you. And I'm like, because like I was doing the correct settings and I've been, this is my field, you know?
Right.
So if you go somewhere where the person is trained in that specialty, again, like, I'm not going to do a C-section on you.
Right.
I'm not, you know,
thank
like,
you.
That's not my, again, it's
totally.
Like, you know, and people all the time, there's so many physicians out there that really want to get into the field of aesthetics because they feel like, oh, it's extra income and it's so easy and fun, but there's a lot of complications. You really have to know your facial anatomy, your facial nerves, your vessels, your veins. You can get necrosis. You can have a lot of problems happening if you hit an artery or a vein, and especially with facial fillers. It's an artwork. You have to know how to inject appropriately. And I've seen severe complications, scarring, disfiguring complications happen from inappropriately and dangerously placed filler in the lips, in the lower face, upper face, you know, in between the eyes. Oh, my goodness. So many, you have to research your doctor. You have to make sure that they're board certified and in a field that does injectables, not like the orthopedic surgeon or the dentist up the street or the family medicine doctor that says, oh, now I learned Botox at the weekend course. And I'm not saying that some of these people, you know, there's so many like celebrity RNs out there that are like the RN to the Kardashians that, oh, that's their dermatologist is this RN. And maybe they're great at filler and Botox and that's fine.
Right.
But you, if this is your face, and
it's your face.
You know,
yeah.
And I'm not
get
saying,
one.
I'm not saying like, there are physician's assistants in this office that are really good with cosmetics, but we watch them closely and we've trained them. And, you know, so you just have to really be comfortable with where you're going and you have to, the Groupon problem and is that they might be diluting the product. You don't know if the product is truly what you think you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people that might be doing it to you might not be as trained as you think. So
don't do it. Just don't do it.
I tell everyone they should be an educated consumer, an educated, you know, person when it's coming to your health.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
especially
there can be complications.
Yeah,
Botox is not rocket science. It's not hard to do, but you have to be smart about it, and you want somebody who knows facial anatomy.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why that's why I promote whether it's dermatology, plastic surgery, or ENT to do those things.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool. What I'm going to go report.
And I'm not
to
talking. I'm not talking bad
friends.
About. I've got so many friends that are in other fields that want to do it. I'm not talking bad about any other profession. I understand that a lot of people want to get into the field of aesthetics, but it's not something you can learn on a weekend course, and you have to be careful because I've seen so many complications.
That
well,
no,
to, like,
I appreciate that.
Research.
I mean, yeah, it is do your research and also, like, you get what you pay for, and, like, there's so many different, like, little euphemisms that we can use, but it's just, to me, it's like needles, it's my face.
I've had people come to me, and they're like, oh, I trust you so much because you're a melanoma expert, and I want you to do my skin check, but I get my Botox done by my nurse friend, and I'm like, okay, but, you know, and then they're like, but it wears off in, like, a month. I'm like, well, maybe
sure
it's
does.
Diluted, or maybe they didn't give you enough, I don't know. So, you gotta be smart about it.
Yeah, for sure. So, other than Botox, you've mentioned to me, like, lasers. What other types of things that are not, like, necessarily surgical that you can do at a dermatologist for anti-aging and sort of, like,
oh, my favorite is IPL, intense pulse light. I love IPL. I've done it on myself. Again, I had melasma and horrible sunspots. I've
you
done
can do it yourself?
I have done it to myself. I've done a whole bunch of stuff to myself.
Do you give yourself Botox?
I can give myself. I've injected my lips. I've done my own Botox. I've done my own laser. So, that's a whole nother story.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're all crazy, all
that's
the dermatologists.
Two.
We can do all this fun stuff. But no, IPL stands for intense pulse light. Mm. It's not technically a laser. It's technically a light device. But it's really good at targeting pigment and blood vessels and vascularity. And if people have sunspots and just kind of dull skin, kind of photo damaged skin, it's really good at kind of getting rid of some of that sun damage. I love it. I've done it on almost all my siblings. I've done it on my parents. I've done it on myself. You know, I've done it on my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, because it will target the blood vessels and the pigment. And it's something very easy to do. Mm-hmm. It's photo rejuvenative, meaning that it's going to help reverse some of the signs of photo aging or sun damage. So when people get these big, and always on the left side of the face, I'm like, look at all these sunspots you have on the left side of the face. Why do you have it on the left side of your face? Because that's your driving side.
Right.
And the downtime's minimal. It's not an ablative laser. You're not peeling and crusting and scabbing. Mm.
Does it hurt?
It feels like it's hot, and then it feels like little maybe mini rubber band snaps, and then you get kind of used to it after a while. Your face looks a little red and puffy the day that you do it. And then the redness kind of goes away. And the cool thing is if you have, like, a big, chubby blood vessel usually disappears right away. And some of the we use it for rosacea. We use it for sunspots. But if you've got a lot of lentigines or sunspots or sun damage.
I have this, like, vessel underneath my nose that drives me crazy.
I'll laser it. I'll zap it.
And just like that, you're fine.
And, the downtime is minimal. And the dark spots get a little bit darker for about a week. And then they flake off and pepper off. And we don't do a lot of it in the summer. We don't do a lot of lasers in the summer because you don't want to be tanned or burned during laser procedures.
Right.
I do a lot of it in the fall, winter, and spring. And I really like IPL for the right patient. You have to be more fair complected. You don't want to do it in darker complected patients. But I like that if you've had a lot of sun damage and you have a lot of sunspots. So that's something else that's...
Does it get rid of, like, acne scars too?
Different lasers get rid of acne scars. It depends on the type of scar. Is it just a hyperpigmented scar, what we call post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation? That will fade with time. And yes, IPL can get rid of some of that pinkness in it. If it's a deep pitted ice pick or rolling acne scar, we use other lasers that fractional lasers that go deeper to stimulate the collagen to kind of repucker up that scar.
Got it. Makes sense.
So that's a different. We do a lot of those lasers, like Fraxel and non-ablative fractional lasers and CO2 lasers, and you know they can help build up the collagen. Mm. But that's a different laser.
Cool. Coming at you. Lasers are my next move.
Pew pew.
I know.
Lasers like lightsabers.
I know. Okay, so if you look at Dr. Lucy's Instagram, she posted this, like, very nutty video of, like, spider veins disappearing. So can you explain what the hell that was? Because it was, like, magic.
That's cool. Yes, it's called sclerotherapy. It's when we inject very superficial spider veins with the sclerosing agent, which means it irritates the vein and causes it to kind of get irritated and drop down beneath the visible surface of the skin so you don't see these spider veins anymore.
Wow.
It's not treatment for varicose veins. Those are deeper, chubbier, tender veins. These are the superficial spider veins. There's all sorts of sclerosing agents. They used to use hypertonic saline. We don't do that much anymore because it's very painful. I use glycerin and epinephrine.
Okay.
And it's an easy procedure. It takes about 15 to 30 minutes.
Wow.
It's one of the most rewarding things that I do.
I mean, it's like instant.
Yes, when you get right into the blood vessel and you cannulate it perfectly and you see it blanch out and you see the holes, because they're all connected like these little spider arms and webs. My nurses are always like, ooh, ah,
it's so cool.
Yeah. It's so cool, Dr. Lucy. So, it's great. I mean, there is some downtime. You get all bruised and ugly in the areas that we inject, because we're injecting your legs. You get these little weird injection marks in the areas that we injected all bruised and ugly. You have to wear compression stockings for like a week afterwards. You can't do hot tubs, hot yoga, hot saunas, anything hot, exercising. We don't want those vessels that we've just shrunken down to vasodilate.
Yeah, so probably like a winter thing.
I mean, I did it today because some patients are like, and I know it's like the spring, summer, but some patients are just like, I'm not wearing shorts anyway because I'm so self-conscious, just get rid of them. But yes, I do usually say you have to wear compression stockings for a week. You might not want to wear compression stockings in the middle of August for a week because that's a sweaty, uncomfortable mess.
Right.
But yeah, we do it more in the winter and in the fall. But it's awesome. It's called sclerotherapy. Again, I would go to a board-certified, you know, dermatologist for that. You have to be very careful.
Especially with, like, veins.
It is, yeah, and because you can get...
Yeah, like your blood flow.
You can get, you know, ulceration of the skin and necrosis if it's injected incorrectly, and so...
Cool.
Therapy.
Cool. I mean, but yeah, like instant results, that was pretty cool. I just kept pushing, like, over and
I
over
have
and
to
over.
Give a shout out to my little sis for putting that video together with music. It was so fun.
It was so cool. Yeah. And then I started, like, spiraling on, like, what other songs you could do for these videos.
She had initially this, like,
Miami Beat.
I loved it, and then Miami. She, like, made something else, so it's cool.
So fun. Okay, so we got a lot of questions about, facials are associated with dermatology versus, like, estheticians, and, like, what's the difference? Do you get a facial at a dermatologist? How important are facials? Things like that.
That's a great question. So, you know, depending on where you go, I've worked in dermatology offices where the dermatologists, the board-certified dermatologists, do the chemical peels and do the facials, and I've worked at some places where they're like, I don't have time for that, or I don't want to do it, and they kind of allow their estheticians to do it. Mm-hmm. Here at the TAMGD Skin Institute, we have estheticians here, and they've been, like, highly trained. They know all their peels. They know we have, like, all these different facials we offer. So we have them do it here because it's a spa service. So, you know, we have a relaxing spa room. We have different sorts of facials. We have a hydrofacial, which is awesome. We have a salt facial, which is really good. It helps, you know, with acne and helps alkaline the pores. So you can do it at a medi spa, and you can do it here. And, I mean, estheticians usually do the facials. When it comes to the finite points of facials, if you've got a lot of acne or comedones or milia and you need a lot of extractions, a lot of times the dermatologists do it. It varies state per state on the licensure and what's allowed. So certain estheticians can't do certain facials or lasers or actually popping of that 1 milia, the extraction of that 1 milia. So it depends on what state they practice in. And, you know, in some areas, RNs can do laser hair removal and facials. In some places, they can't. So, but yeah, here, you know, we have estheticians that do our facials, and I don't do facials. Like, I don't perform them on patients, but I do a lot of extractions and I do a lot of chemical peels on my friends and family at home.
Our extractions not the most, like, satisfying thing ever. Like, I like popping. I don't do it because I'm your patient. I don't pop my zits, but it's so satisfying.
Well, everyone's, like, all into Dr. Pimple Popper right now.
Can't watch those. I don't know how some people... Oh,
like, God. The videos? Oh, God, no, I can't.
No, it's satisfying to clear out the pores and the debris and get these... And I've got so many kids on Accutane, and I really want to clear out their skin and get them better. Yeah. So, yeah, I do some mini facials in the office and just kind of clear them up a little bit. Before we increase their dose of Accutane. So, but no, facials are super important, especially if you have, like, an event coming up and you really just want to detoxify your skin and kind of get all that gunk off. And there's lots of dead skin cells. I mean, we do dermaplaning here, which is like a...
Totally want to do that.
They take a superficial blade and they kind of scrape off the dead skin, the little fine vellus hairs. They get rid of a lot of this congestion and just dead skin cells, and your skin's kind of glowing, and then you can put on some topical serums that kind of just help. It penetrates better when you kind of get rid of all that gunk and dead skin cells on your skin.
Casey's signing up right now.
We have the Hydrofacial here, which is like a vacuum suction device that kind of helps suction, kind of get all the pores nice and clear. We use light therapy to kind of help kill some bacteria on your skin. We apply different serums afterwards.
So if you, addiction
if you,
in my
if you have an event coming up and you want to look a little bit more glowing and refreshed, facials are awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. All right. Hands. These questions are just funny. Okay. Hands, necks, and chests. Like, those seem to be what age fastest. We talked about SPF. We talked about not being a ding-dong, essentially. Is there anything, like, I assume it's because our skin is thinner in those areas. What's the deal with why those age faster and what we can do about it?
No, the skin's not thinner on the chest and hands. The skin on the hands, especially the palms, is very thick, and the skin on the dorsal hands is also very thick as well. The reason why it ages is because chronic cumulative sun exposure. So, like, when we drive, I mean, look at me, and I'm a freaking dermatologist. Look at these two sunspots on my hands. So, we drive, and our hands are right there. So, the thinnest skin on the body is the eyelid skin, genital skin. Uh-huh. You know, this skin is actually pretty thick and hardy. It's that it's chronically cumulatively exposed. We think about our face, and we put sunscreen on our face, and sometimes on our, I'm just now really getting good about putting sunscreen on my chest. I tell my patients to put it on my hands. I always forget, and then I'm a dermatologist. I wash my hands a million times a day. So it's all from the aging we see is from chronic cumulative sun exposure, you know, and that's what it's from. You have to wear sunscreen. I do IPL again on those areas to kind of get rid of the sunspots, but it's just from the sun. The skin's not thinner there. It's just more exposed to the sun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so two more very important questions. Well, what's your morning routine?
Oh, my God. Okay, so...
Is it, like, 6 hours long, or is it very basic?
No, it's super basic. Okay, so I'm, like, a busy mom of two. I have a three-year-old and a five-month-old. So, oh my God, it just depends on when my little nuggets wake up. So, sometimes I'll try to get a quick workout in. My son, we just bought a treadmill, so my son sometimes comes down and watch like cartoons, and I'll do like half an hour on the treadmill and listen to a podcast or something. But usually I get ready very quickly. I use like a glycolic acid wash. I do my vitamin C serum, my moisturizer with sunscreen.
Specifically which one?
The glycolic acid wash I use here is it's sold here. It's a Tamjiki Skin Institute brand. The vitamin C serum here is a Revision vitamin C 30%. You can buy brands that are 10 to 15. Revision sells at 30. I love the Revision brand.
Cool.
And then I love the La Roche-Posay mineral anthelios 50. Mm-hmm. And then I live off like dry shampoo.
Yes.
You know, I curl my hair very quickly in the morning. I do a dirty bun every fourth day, and then I force myself to shower. But no, I get the kiddos ready. I get myself ready pretty quickly. And I'm not gonna lie. It's very hard. I work two jobs. I have two kids. Big fan of pumping and driving. So,
my sister does that.
I get myself all buckled in. I have a special bra, which I'm wearing now. That's why, you know, it's like, it looks like I'm wearing a sports bra. I buckle myself in. I get the pumping gear going.
I love it.
And I pump and drive. And I pump. So, yeah, I'm trying to nurse for a year if I can for my little one. And pump. Yeah, so it's a really, really quick. I don't spend a lot of time. I do my makeup when I get in the parking garage. And I just don't spend a lot of time. And for dermatologists, some people are super into makeup. Like, a lot of the dermatologists I work with and the estheticians I work with, they're all into the makeup brands. And I use, like, super CVS, like, CoverGirl stuff. I've just never been a big makeup-y person. But morning routine, pretty quick. I got to have my coffee.
Yes.
Yes.
My big Nalgene of water. And
so you're going to say coffee?
Again.
I was like, damn. That's a lot of coffee.
Oh, no.
A liter of coffee.
No, but I make it simple, stupid. I always do the sunscreen.
Yeah.
Try to get some love and time in with my kiddos. Sometimes I work out in the morning. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's like a crazy struggle out the door. So.
What do you do for breakfast?
Ooh, recently I've gotten into this thing. I found it at Target. It's called Olly, O-L-L-Y. It's like a probiotic, prebiotic smoothie. So I'm trying not to do a lot of dairy right now, and so this is like a dairy-free probiotic, so you know it's hard to find probiotics that aren't in like yogurt and cheese and stuff.
Right.
And I do a couple scoops of that in my Nalgene, and it's like vanilla, it's like strawberry, they have strawberry, vanilla, blueberry, all these different flavors, and I do that. I usually have like some sort of protein bar or something. Sometimes I hard boil a bunch of eggs on Sundays, so it just kind of depends.
Something quick.
Yeah. And then I always try to have like salads or vegetables at lunch with some protein, and then my husband's amazing and such a good cook. And so
oh my God, it's the best. My husband's the same.
Do you guys want to trade?
I don't know how I would
say. I love my husband. But like, we wouldn't eat if I didn't cook. Hilarious. Where do you seek advice, like skincare advice and like all that kind of, like, what's your resource? I'm sure it's like other dermatologists, or are there certain like resources online that you go to?
Yeah, actually, so you know, with social media and Facebook, two things that I rely on a lot, and I'm sorry if I'm, like, breaking the internet right now. You have to be a doctor to be on these secret Facebook groups. Sorry. So there's one group called the Physician Mom Facebook group, PMG. Oh, cool. I'm a huge fan. Oh, cool. I love it. So it kind of connects.
It's so cool.
It's awesome because we're all physicians. We're all mothers and all different fields. So, you know, people are posting things every day about hard, complicated medical cases. Like, oh, my God, I've got this patient with leukemia and they're on this, wow, and this and this. And where do you think, you know? And then from medical things, so, like, I have an interview tomorrow. Should I wear this outfit or this outfit?
Yeah.
I posted something. I was like, my son just fell and hit his head, and aww, I just sutured him up. And does this look okay? Does he need a vaccine? Does he need an injection? Does he need antibiotics? Yeah. And within, like, 3 minutes, I had a pediatric emergency room medicine doctors and family care medicine doctors from all over the country being like, no, girl, you're good. You know, good.
Incredible.
It's amazing. So it's this very, wow, highly supportive group of physicians and moms, and we're all there to support each other. And we can throw out ideas for medical diagnoses, for questions with our husbands and lives, mm-hmm, and even kids, like, oh, kid, you know, am I doing this right? Or my kid's still waking up in the middle of the night. So, and then the other group is, there's a dermatology Facebook group based on just board certified dermatologists, and we post out crazy cases if we need help from.
Mm-hmm.
So I seek advice from them all the time, and it's like whenever I check online and I'm just reading some of these things at night, it's like I'm learning a mini CME. It's like a mini, yeah, continuing medical education.
That's,
I'm like,
that's,
oh my
so
God.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's great. It's like, oh my God. I'm like, my husband's always like, are you on that physician mom? are you on the dermatology Facebook
group?
Sure
am,
babe. I'm like, I am, because I'm constantly learning. I posted something the other day, be like, I found a 1 millimeter melanoma on a female.
Isn't that crazy?
It was
1 millimeter.
1 millimeter. The sixth of the size of a pencil eraser. And I put it up on the dermatology group. I was like, oh my God, guys, like, look what I found. Cause I wanted to show them what it looked like under my microscope, under my dermatoscope.
Right.
I was like, look at these weird little dots on the edges. Like, we should all be aware that when you see dots like this, like, it could be a freaking melanoma. So I wasn't, like, bragging. I was kind of being like, everyone should be a little freaking scared of melanoma. Right.
Right.
You know, eventually it would have presented itself and hopefully somebody would have biopsied it. But so I seek a lot of, kind of support and resources from Facebook, as silly as that sounds, but that's kind of the
advent
now.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's great because I have access. Again, like, when my son hurt himself and
right,
I sewed him up, I'm like, I'm not, should I have taken him to the emergency room? Should I have given him antibiotics? Should I clean out? And, like, literally, within, like, 5 minutes, people responded.
Well, like,
to me.
Literally only another doctor mom would be able to relate,
yeah,
to.
Yeah. And, and then also with, like, my nursing and breastfeeding journey, I'm on a Facebook group for doctor moms that are all about nursing. It's called Dr. Milk, and that's been pretty great,
oh,
pretty
I
helpful.
Love it.
And then also just my mentors. I've been very privileged to have some incredible mentors. You know, Dr. Tim Gidi, I work with here. She's got an amazing practice. I look at her, I'm like, you have this whole practice. You've got two kids. You know, she's a boss lady.
Awesome.
But also at Inova, where I work at. So I work with amazing oncologists and dermatologists there that just,
yeah,
kind of,
wow,
support me. So it's great to have, you know, people I trained with in residency, mm-hmm, and I try to keep up with journal clubs. So keeping close with this whole kind of D.C., Maryland, Virginia, dermatology, medical community has been great. But medically, I get inspiration from them and support from them. But then also my family, you know, like,
yeah,
again, I'm,
yeah,
one of five, and my siblings are, like, my best friends. So, and
so
they,
cool,
they don't, like, they would never, like, I still think they can't believe I'm a physician. They're like, oh, God, yeah, like, I guess if you know anything, but.
Always the middle sister, huh?
I have totally middle kid syndrome. It's hilarious. But, no, I think it's important to never be too vain and be very humble and reach out to the people around you, because,
mm-hmm,
that's who's going to help you,
for
you
sure,
know? So it's, and again, I work with some amazing doctors here in this office, and it's, we always bounce ideas off each other, like, oh my gosh, look at this. Like, did you see this? How would you do this? And so,
yeah,
you know,
awesome,
being a young physician, it's important to kind of still have that support system.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Is there anything we left out? Anything on your end that we left out, Dr. Lucy? I would like to say one thing. We did meet somebody recently who said they'd never had a skin check, and I'm like, we're both psycho about it, but, like,
yeah,
just the importance.
Well, my mom's had, like, every type of skin cancer literally ever, so for me, as soon as my mom had her first, like,
right,
nasal, I started going at, like, 20.
But just, like, I mean, for me, it's fun. Like, you get to go and have somebody, like, look at your skin for a half an,
yeah,
hour,
so,
or whatever.
So I will do a shout-out. May is Melanoma Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should get their skin checked, just like how I say everyone should go to the dentist twice,
yeah,
a year.
Right.
Everyone should have a physical. Now, the U.S. Preventative Task Force came out with this, like, crazy anti-recommendation a couple years ago saying that, like, oh, they did some study and they realized that, like, it's not cost effective to do skin exams on people. But they were doing that based on, like, primary care doctors doing skin exams on everyone. So primary care doctors don't know that much about skin and skin cancer. Yeah. I had a whole extra year of training and just how to use my little microscope that you saw me looking at all your moles. Called the dermatoscope. That's how I found that 1 millimeter melanoma is because I had that dermatoscope. I wouldn't have found it without that. It looked like a small little round benign mole. And then with my dermatoscope, I was like, ding, 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 don't like this. So if you're at high risk, which means if you have a personal or family history of melanoma, dysplastic nevi, which means atypical moles, more than 100 moles, more than 5 sunburns as a kid, tanning bed use.
Which is all of us.
I'm like,
honestly.
check. I'm
bad blistering sunburns growing up. I always ask my patients, what's your sun exposure history? Were you a lifeguard, a swimmer, a tanner, a tanning bed user, bad blistering sunburns growing up?
And don't lie, people.
And I try to gate. Now, if you're like a very dark skinned Hispanic and you've got one mole and nobody in your life has ever had a melanoma, you probably don't need a super thorough skin exam by a dermatologist, unless you've got some big black ugly mole that pops up on your foot, you know. But again, skin cancer doesn't discriminate against race or ethnicity or age or gender. So like Bob Marley died of a melanoma on his pinky toe.
Wow.
People think, oh, he's Jamaican and Rastafari and African American, and you can't get, you know, you can get melanoma on your toe. You can get melanoma where areas in the sun doesn't shine. So I think everyone should have a full body skin exam, and especially the ones that are higher risk. You've got lots of moles, family history of skin cancer, specifically melanoma. You've had bad sunburns. And then also, there's something to be said about opportunistic screening. So I hope some of my other dermatologists are listening to this podcast, because I think it's super important for opportunistic screening, which means I have a lot of people come in just for Botox. And I'm seeing them they're coming in, I'm looking at just their forehead, I do Botox, and I'm always like, hey, while you're numbing, just take off your shirt. Let me just make sure let me just make sure I'm not missing a mega melanoma on your back. Or a 19-year-old with acne. Hey, let me just lift up your shirt, because they probably have acne on their back, and I want to kind of assess how bad is their acne. But then I'm start looking at their moles. I have found so many melanomas that way that I'm like, wait a second. Like, lift up their shirt. What is this mole? I ask the mom, because the mom's in the room. Have you seen this mole? No. So melanoma, you know.
Yeah.
I had a guy the other day that he kept bringing his kids in for warts. You know, these two little redhead kids for warts. And I was like, oh, you're this.
We don't all have warts.
Two cute little redheads. But I mean, it's story, because he's a redhead too. And I look at him, I go, hey, you're a redhead. You should come in and get a skin check. He said, I'm so busy with the kids. Come in one time. He came in and found melanoma on his back.
Aww.
So it's like, had I not, like, taken that opportunity to make the person get undressed or come in, or, you know. So even primary care doctors, that if they're listening to the lungs, lift up the shirt and listen to the lungs that way. They may see something on the back.
Right, yeah.
So smart. You know, same thing. Like, I do lymph node exams all the time on my patients with melanoma, and I always feel the thyroid. I'm just trying to take that extra step. So I think everyone should get a skin check. You got to be your own advocate. You know, it's hard to take time out of your work and family to go to the dermatologist. It's always a long wait. All my patients are like, Dr. Lucy, I've been waiting an hour to see you. Well, I'm sorry, because I spent half an hour looking at this person's crazy moles, and, you know, so it can take a long time, and we apologize if there's a long wait. It's just how it is in dermatology, you know, it's just hard. But I would say everyone should get a skin check, especially if you're high risk. Everyone's got to wear their sunscreen, you know, that's important. And then
everybody should get Botox.
Everyone should get some Botox. No, if you're the right candidate and if you're dedicated to do it, you know, a lot of people want filler, and a lot of people want the Kylie Jenner lip look right now. And I do that too. But some people really just want a little bit of subtle change. And I think, you know, aesthetics is the way to go. A little bit of filler, a little bit of laser, or a little bit of Botox can go a long way. Make people more confident and feel better about themselves and just feel more refreshed. They're not going to look fake and frozen, especially here. If you just do a little bit.
Yeah.
It's the people in Hollywood that have had, like, 7 syringes of this and 10 syringes of that. And you're like, well, girl, you don't even look like yourself anymore, right? So, no, that's kind of like my PSA is getting your skin checked. Don't go to tanning salons, you know. It's just, or if you are one of those people, you're like, you know what, I was a lifeguard, I did go to tanning salons, please get your skin, it could totally save your life.
Absolutely. Well, this was really freaking fun. Thank you so much. People are going to just like die over this because there's just so many nuggets of knowledge in here. Thank you so much. Where can we find you on Instagram?
Yeah. So Dr. Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, Lucy, L-U-C-E-Y, Dr. Patty Lucy on Instagram. And then I work here at the Tam Gedi Skin Institute 3 days a week. And then I also work at the Inova Melanoma Skin Cancer Center 2 days a week, but specifically for melanoma and high-risk patients. But even if you're in one of the 40 other states that's listening to this, you know, really get your skin checked, go to a dermatologist, and kind of just take care of yourself and, you know, just live your life to the fullest. And that's the other thing. With the summer coming up, everyone's like, oh, can't go outside. Yeah. I'm like, no, you can go outside, have a good time, enjoy yourself, just be smart. Yeah. Wear that fun
and come
hat.
See me in the fall.
Yeah. Wear a fun hat and some fun shades and put on some sunscreen, you'll be fine. So
love it. Okay, well, cool. You want to do your spiel?
Thanks so much, guys. As always, if you loved this episode, please give us a 5-star rating and a review on iTunes. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Until next time.
Thank you, Dr. Lucy.
Bye.